WMFO, Medford. July. Happy birthday, America. Having a little bit of technical difficulties, beginning with my card not working to get me into the studio this morning. I'm going to try and play a little patriotic tunes. Couple here before I play the feature I was supposed to play last week on the 27th when I was unable to miss. Was unable to make the show due to being in Chicago, unwantingly. So we'll start it off with Tex Ritter and the Pledge of the Legions.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag is a pledge to the ideals of our forefathers, the men who fought and died in the building of this great nation. It is a pledge to fulfill our duties and obligations as citizens of the United States and to uphold the principles of our Constitution. Last but not least, it is a pledge to maintain the four great freedoms cherished by all Americans. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah.
was Tex Ritter with the Pledge of Allegiance to start things off. And I followed that with the Roberts School Kindergarten singing Yankee Doodle from a Memorial Day program at the school they had there. Next, I'm not going to do a double billing this morning. I'm just going to play one episode. And I saw something in the music library I'll play. Seems a little patriotic. I'll get this started and I'll go fetch that. This is an occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. This original air date was the 9th of July, 1959, and it stars Vincent Price as Peyton Fourcroy. It's based on the short story by Ambrose Bierce. I don't recollect when that was published. It was first published by the San Francisco Examiner. I believe 1890. It was also made into a film by a French gentleman in 1962. It was actually a pretty good film. So much so that Rod Serling decided to air it in his final season of Twilight Zone. I believe it was episode 142 in 1964. Been a few different versions of this. This one is from the Suspense program. I'm going to go ahead and play through the commercials just because some folks seem to enjoy that. So I hope you enjoy.
Theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson. Each year, thousands of short stories roll out from a multitude of typewriters and march across the pages of our magazines and books toward well-deserved oblivion. Few are memorable, fewer still are classics. They pass the time and are forgotten even before the paper in which they are written is reduced to black and ash. But occasionally a story is written that is a true classic, an unforgettable tale. Listen to such a one now. Listen as Vincent Price stars in Ambrose Bierce's weird and wonderful story of the Civil War, Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, which begins in just a moment.
The following message is from American Telephone and Telegraph.
So long.
Have a nice trip.
Don't forget the phone.
Getting away at last. It's a great feeling, isn't it? Looking forward to a carefree weekend or vacation, especially if you've planned ahead by long distance.
Now, let's see. You did phone about the cabins.
Right.
What about the Johnsons?
I called them, too. They're expecting us.
Oh, good. Well, I guess that takes care of everything.
Yes, a little vacation planning ahead of time by long distance does a lot. Holiday carefree and fun. Right now is a good time to call, while long-distance rates are lowest. Remember, whenever, wherever you go this summer, go first by long distance.
And now, Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, starring Mr. Vincent Price, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
A man stood upon a railroad bridge in northern Alabama, looking down through the ties at the swift water 20 feet below. The man's hands were behind his back, the wrists bound with a cord. A rope closely encircled his neck. It was attached to a stout cross timber above his head.
If I could free my hands, I might throw off this noose and dive into the creek. If I swam underwater, I would be safe from their bullets. If my wind held out, I could make the southern bank, take to the woods, and get away home.
Peyton Farquhar, Alabama planter, stood at the end of a plank. A captain of the Union Army and a sergeant stood at the other end. When they step aside, the plank will tip upwards, and Peyton Farquhar, Confederate spy, will slip between the ties to hang until dead above the muddy water of Owl Creek. The captain steps aside, draws his sword, flourishes it to a carry, sings out a command. The men on the bank smartly spread their legs, thrust hands forward over their rifle barrels. The sergeant on the end of the plank takes one step to the left. The plank tips forward, and Peyton Farquhar drops between the timbers of Owl Creek Bridge.
It takes longer to tell it. As you drop downward, you lose consciousness. You are as one already dead. Then you awaken sharply in pain to feel, not to think, just to feel. The cutting pressure on your throat, the agonies of pulsating fire shooting from your neck downward. To feel the fullness, the congestion, the head bursting with suffocation. Distantly beyond, outside of yourself, you hear a splash. Remotely, you sense cool, wet, green darkness. The rope is broken. You've fallen into the stream. Come, Peyton, they can't lick you. The knot's given. Again, now try once more. There. That does it. You must breathe when you come to the surface. You must breathe quickly. For if they haven't hanged you and they fail to drown you, you can't let them shoot you. And now a deep breath.
Down there at the bend!
You dive deeply, but above the ringing in your ears, you hear the volley of the rifles. As you rise towards the surface, you meet shining bits of metal, singularly flattened, the distorted and spent bullets oscillating slowly downward past you. One catches in your collar, and it feels uncomfortably warm. You snatch it out, and this gray piece of Yankee lead reminds you of the gray uniform on the soldier who is responsible for you being here. It was only night before last when the soldier had ridden up the driveway as you and your wife sat under the magnolia trees in the cool twilight.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Corporal. Won't you dismount?
Thanks. I wonder if I might trouble you for a glass of water.
Why, of course.
Don't disturb yourself, Peyton. I'll go fetch it.
You're most kind, ma'am. If you indicate the well.
Nonsense. You just sit a spell with my husband. You look as if you could do with some rest.
Yes, ma'am. Reckon I could.
I'll be back in a jiffy.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, Corporal, whose command are you with, huh?
Colonel Tulliver, sir. 13th North Carolina.
Hmm. Yeah, we get so little news down here. How are things going at the front?
Not good, sir. The damn Yankees are getting ready for another advance. They're repairing the railroad. Got it in shape almost to Owl Creek Bridge. And they got outposts there. Once they can run trains beyond the bridge, there's nothing to stop them between here and Atlanta.
Well, then why hasn't the bridge been destroyed?
The military couldn't get near it. A civilian might.
Owl Creek Bridge, huh? Well, that's not far from here, is it?
Less than 20 miles.
That bridge is important.
Sure is.
Hmm. What if it were destroyed?
Hold up the Yankees for several weeks.
Suppose a man, a more civilian like myself, should elude the picket post. What could he accomplish?
Well, I was there a week ago, just before we had to pull out. There's a heap of driftwood come down in last winter's flood caught on the trestle at this end. Looked mighty dry and tendery to me.
I see.
A fellow with enough gumption might get through and set fire to it. It ought to burn like tow.
Yes, it should.
Here's your water, Corporal. Right out of the spring house.
Thank you kindly, ma'am. My, it's cool and nice. Well, reckon I better hit the leather. I got a lot of riding ahead of me tonight.
Well, good luck to you, Corporal, and thank you for the information.
You'd be taking a chance, sir, but you couldn't do a greater service for your country.
I remember that, Corporal.
Bye, ma'am. Bye, sir. Many thanks.
You break the surface of Owl Creek for a second time, and now you are much further downstream, further away from the Union soldiers on the bridge reloading their guns, the ramrods flashing in the morning sun. And then, something seems to grab you and you're whirled round and round, spinning like a waterlogged top. You're caught in a vortex, a whirlpool. The water, the banks, the distant bridge, the soldiers become indistinct blurs. You're helpless. You feel dizzy and sick to your stomach, just as you felt last night when you crept up the bank toward the lone sentinel at the south end of the bridge and discovered that the sentinel was not alone.
There he is, boys. Grab him.
I got him, Sergeant.
Well, Mr. Peyton Farquhar, we've been expecting you.
How did you know my name?
We got ways.
But look here. I'm a civilian. I was just...
Save your breath. Thank your maker we didn't shoot you in the back. We don't do things like that up north. You'll get a trial, everything fair and square. All right, bring him along, men. Here he is, Captain. Right on schedule.
Good work, Sergeant. This the man, Lieutenant?
That's him.
Why, you... You're the corporal who stopped at my plantation last night.
That's right, Mr. Farquhar. But not of the 13th North Carolina Volunteers.
Mr. Farquhar, this is Lieutenant Saltonstall, Intelligence Officer, 5th Massachusetts Regulars.
You've trapped me. You deliberately led me into a trap. I'm a civilian, a planter.
And also a Southern patriot, caught in the act of sabotage.
You can't prove it.
We don't have to.
But why have you done this? Why have you deliberately trapped me?
It's so much easier to eliminate civilian resistance by luring it into the open. You fell for the bait. Too bad.
Now, look here. It is my constitutional
right.
Which
constitution? Constitution of the United States of America or Jeff Davis?
You insulting me.
Remember your manners, sir.
I demand a trial.
You've just had it. Post guard over him, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
We'll hang him in the morning.
Your Columbia phonograph dealer is proud to present the new sound of pleasure. Stereo One by Columbia, number one in the wonderful world of sound. Only Columbia's leadership and advanced engineering could bring you so many exclusive features, so many handsome models. There's a Columbia Stereo One phonograph for every room, for every budget, every listening need. If space is a problem, Columbia has a new stowaway speaker model. If you want twin stereo units, Columbia has them. If you want true stereo sound in one unit, Columbia has it in several handsome models. Thrill to the excitement of true high fidelity combined with the realism of stereophonic sound. No matter what you want in stereo, Columbia has it. And your Columbia phonograph dealer is headquarters for Columbia Phonographs. Portables start as low as $24.95. Elegant consoles start at the amazing low price of $129.95. See them all, hear them all today at your Columbia phonograph dealer.
And now, starring Mr. Vincent Price, Act Two of Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge.
They didn't hang you. The rope broke and the whirlpool carried you away. And now you realize that the whirling has stopped. You open your eyes. You are lying on the southern bank of the stream, out of the sight of your enemies, safe. You leap to your feet and run into the woods, south, towards home. It's nearly noon now. And for a half hour, you've been plunging through a swamp, waist deep in green ooze. Your neck hurts constantly, your head throbs, and your tongue is thick. Gnats swarm before your eyes and catch in your eyelids. Mosquitoes buzz in your ears, drill deep into your hands and your swollen neck. You can't go on any longer. You slow down and you stop. You reach toward a palmetto root for support, and it slithers from your grasp and slides softly into the water. Water moccasin. Fear finds you at last. Terror, which stood aloof when you fled the executioner's bullets, now embraces you with clammy unction. Water moccasin. And now each branch and root seems to writhe under your glance.
The swamp is undulating with certain death. You plunge on through the dark, stinking ooze, on and on, tripping, stumbling, but never stopping. The terror rides your back, flogging you with a whiplash of fear.
Jethro's gonna have my Farquhar fit as a fiddling jig time. Now, you just drink this here your tea, Mass Farquhar.
Oh, thank you, thank... Jethro?
Yes, sir, Mass Farquhar.
What are you doing here?
I lives here.
You live... Where am I? What happened?
Well, I was pulling my dugout and coming home through the swamp with a mess of catfish, and I sees you lying out there on the bank in front of my cabin.
Jethro, I heard... I thought you were dead.
Who, me? Dead?
Of course, you thought Jethro was dead. You knew he had consumption when you sold him. You knew he couldn't last long and he wasn't earning his keep. His wife and his daughter had carried on some at first, but after a while they calmed down, and last you heard, Jethro was dead.
You thought I was dead, my Farquhar? Why, sir, don't you know what done happened to me? I'm free. I'm free at last. Yes, sir, I'm free. And I expect pretty soon my woman and my little girl are going to come along and join me. How is they, my Farquhar? Is they well?
Oh, yes, 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 indeed. They're both fine, Jethro. Jethro, I don't know how to say this, but I really was sorry about having to sell you. But there wasn't anything else.
Oh, I understand, my Farquhar. Don't you pay it no mind. I done forgive you long ago. Don't the Lord tell us to forgive those who trespasses against us, and don't the Lord promise us we shall be free? Don't you worry none about it, my Farquhar. Hey, here now. Quiet there, Pop. Quiet, sugar. I must have heard a razorback in his breast. No, can't no hog at all. Look, my Farquhar. There's a horse coming down the back road. Why, I swear it's a soldier. It's one of our soldiers, too. Corporal, look back.
Jethro, you've got to hide me.
Well, why does I got to hide you, my Farquhar?
Don't ask so many questions, you insolent.
My Farquhar, you forget, so I'm free now.
Oh, yes. Yes, well, then as an old friend, Jethro, please just hide me and don't tell that soldier anything.
Why, sure. I reckon I can do that for old friend, my Farquhar. Here, you get on under this bed here, and I'll put the covers over the side for you. There.
Hey there, Uncle.
Have you come this far just to be turned in by a wool-gathering black who talks crazy? If Jethro knew this gray-clad corporal was really a Union lieutenant, he'd guarantee his freedom by turning you in. Unless, of course, he's planning to dispose of you himself. Yes, that's it. He's going to do you in himself.
Y'all can come on out now, my Farquhar.
Thank you.
Lord, I declare I don't understand none of this. You says not to tell him you're here, and he says not to tell you he's been here. Now, what's this all about, my Farquhar?
Nothing, Jethro, nothing. I owe the man some money, and I'm not ready to pay it yet.
Oh, I see. I wouldn't know nothing about that. Money is something that ain't never bothered me like it bothers some. Money and me's always been strangers.
Jethro, what are you going to do with that knife?
Huh? Oh, I was just fixing to split up some of them catfish I got in my dugout. Looked like you could do with a little food, Mass Farquhar.
No, thank you, Jethro. I want to get home by sundown. If you'll just tell me which way I should go.
Well, I don't rightly know, Mass Farquhar. But I reckon from the way the sun's reclining, it'd be down the road that way. Quite a fair piece down.
Yes, that should be about right.
I never been back, you know. Never tried to go back since I've been free.
Yes, I know.
Reckon it won't be long till my woman and my little one comes here to me.
Of course.
If you get back, my Farquhar, if you see them, you tell them I'm here waiting for them.
Yes, I'll do that, Jethro. I'll do that.
Car owners, here's news about a revolutionary new product by the makers of famous Caseit. It's new Caseit 3C, a heavy-duty crankcase concentrate for use in all engines. Added to your motor oil, Caseit 3C with Barramin
quickly stops hydraulic valve lifter noises, cushions and soothes the engine. It cleans your engine and keeps it clean. K-Site 3C gives protection against acid, rust, and corrosion, too. Add to the oil every 2,000 miles, and you'll have a tough oil that won't thin out. Oil that cushions the load on every working part. Cuts down friction, wear, and noise. With K-Site 3C in the crankcase, gas and oil mileage increases, and your engine has more pep and power. Remember, you get results with K-Site 3C, or double your money back. Get it at your service station, garage, or car dealer now. Only $1.50.
And now, starring Mr. Vincent Price, Act 3 of Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge.
You get away from there fast. The shells of the back road crunching under your muddy boots. That grinning savage standing in the doorway of the shack, the knife in his hand. At each moment until the road bends and cuts off the cabin from view, you fear he'll come after you, the knife poised to plunge you in the back, to pay you for the thrust you gave him when you sent him away to die. But he's still standing there, grinning foolishly and waving as you turn the bend. How long have you been running down this endless road? It's dark now. Is it night? Or has the blood trapped in your head by that suffocating rope at last burst into your congested eyeballs and blinded you? No, no. The darkness is only the black of a sudden summer storm. That lightning flash clearly shows the white road ahead and the black silhouettes of trees along the side. Another flash of lightning directly overhead. For an instant, you seem to see the soldiers of Owl Creek Bridge standing at the side of the road, rifles leveled, their eyes boring down the sights, aiming at your heart. Again, you're running, and the rain has turned to hail. Pellets as big as hominy beat down on you, pound your swollen, bruised neck, hammer on your countless cuts. Again, the lightning. And on the other side of the road, the gray-clad corporal sits astride his horse, waiting for you. No. No, you can't get me now. No. This bolt of lightning strikes a tree ahead of you, and in the white blinding light stands Jethro, black and grinning, knife raised in the air. No. No, Jethro. Jethro, forgive me. Forgive me. Now you see dangling from each tree along the road a noose swinging in the wind. Wherever you turn, wherever you look, a noose waiting for you. A noose which wriggles like a water moccasin. No! No! You are standing on the green lawn of your plantation before the high columned entrance. The storm is over. The clouds are black and menacing all around the horizon, but through a break in the sky overhead, glorious sunlight streams down, bathing your garden and your house in heavenly light. You are home. Now you hear a rustle of crinoline, and down from the wide portico steps your beloved wife. She runs across the lawn, arms outstretched.
Peyton, my dear, you're back, just as you promised you'd be.
For this moment, you have endured the agonies of this day. And were those agonies multiplied 1,000 times, they would be small price for the benison of this breast, the sanctuary of these arms, the security of these lips. You step forward to fold your wife in your embrace.
The rope stretched tight, sang like a bowstring. Peyton Farquhar was dead. His body, with a broken neck, swung gently from side to side beneath the timbers of Owl Creek Bridge.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Okay, that was an occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. Again, that was by the program Suspense. The original air date was the 9th of July, 1959, starring Vincent Price. So that was just, that's roughly in the same, about the same time of year it is now. Today's the 4th of July. Again, it was first published 1890 in the San Francisco Examiner by Ambrose Bierce. In 1962, it was turned into a film by the French, Don't Get Me to Try, and I think it's just called The River Owl. But I'm not going to try and speak French for you this morning. Rod Serling thought enough of it that he aired it as one of his Twilight Zone episodes in his final season in 1964. Coming up next, I found this in the record library here. I saw it a couple weeks ago going through some stuff. I'm going to play a couple of John Wayne narratives for America. I believe this is a record. This one here is a reissue in 1973. I can't find when it was originally released, but it's got some interesting stuff there, to say the least. You're listening to The Grand Hour. This is Arthur. I'm 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, WMFO.org.
Ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain. You've seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel at the Appalachia Mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth's rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? You hail to the Columbia as she rushes to the sea, or bow your head at Gettysburg and our struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? You watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore and thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? Do you stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef? From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast at the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I've a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky. The hyphen, Webster's dictionary defines, is a symbol used to divide a compound word or a single word. So it seems to me that when a man calls himself an Afro-American, a Mexican-American, Italian-American, an Irish-American, Jewish-American, what he's saying is, I'm a divided American. Well, we all came from other places, different creeds, different races, to form a nation. To become as one. Yet look at the harm a line has done. A simple little line, and yet as divisive as a line can get. A crooked cross the Nazis flew, and the Russian hammer and sickle too. Time bombs in the lives of man. But none of these could ever fan the flames of hatred faster than the hyphen. The Russian hammer built a wall that locks men's hearts from freedom's call. Crooked cross flew overhead above 20 million tragic dead. Among them, men from this great nation who died for freedom's preservation. A hyphen is a line that's small. It can be a bridge or be a wall. A bridge can save you lots of time. A wall you always have to climb. The road to liberty lies true. Ivan's use is up to you. Used as a bridge, it can span all the differences of man. Being free in mind and soul should be our most important goal. If you use the hyphen as a wall, you'll make your life mean and small. An American is a special breed whose people came to her in need. They came to her that they might find a world where they'd have peace of mind, where men are equal, and something more, stand taller than they stood before. So you be wise in your decision, and that little line won't cause division. Let's join hands with one another, for in this land each man's your brother. United we stand, divided we fall. We're Americans, and that says it all.
To say the least. That was John Wayne. Yes, John Wayne, but never had snow pants. And the hyphen, that was preceded by Why I Love Her, which is kind of, it kind of spans the country here, which I'm going to kind of get through, taking a break from the usual double radio drama format. I'll play some music to the grand hour. We'll see how it goes. I don't know if the Whirlpool with Matt's going to be up next. If not, I'll play out a little bit more music, but here we go.
Just touched ground on an international run. the shores of the Delaware Bay. You can bet your life I did till I got back in the USA.
I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Matamor, Apolloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Topekillo, Amarillo, Ampadilla, I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, Canada, Monterey, Ferry Day, Santa Fe, Tallahassee, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, off Coosa, Tampa, Hennessy, Hennessy, Chippewa, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Double Lake, Cradle Lake, the Peak. Say, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Knoxville, Omaha, Black, Shuffleville, Jacksonville, Waterville, Costa Rica, Pittsfield, Springfield, Bakerfield, Shreveport, Hickensack, Cadillac, Fond du Lac, Davenport, Idaho, Jellico, Argentina, Diamantina, Pasadena, Catalina, see what I mean, sir. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Pittsburgh, Parkerburg, Gravelburg, Colorado, Ellensburg, Rexburg, Vicksburg, El Dorado, Laramore, Atmore, Havistar, Chattanooga, Chaska, Nebraska, Alaska, Opelika, Baraboo, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity. I'm an everywhere man. I'm an everywhere man. Across the deserts, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man.
I know some place you haven't been.
I've been everywhere.
At breakfast, I said to my wife, we've been everywhere once and some places twice. As I had another helping of country ham, she said, we ain't never been to Vietnam. And there's a bunch of our boys over there. So we went to the Orient, Saigon. Well, we got a big welcome when we drove in to the gates of a place that they call Long Bend. We checked in and everything got kind of quiet, but a soldier boy said, just wait till tonight, things get noisy. Things start happening. Big, bad firecracker. Well, that night we did about four shows for the boys, and they were living it up with a whole lot of noise. We did our last song for the night, and we crawled into bed for some peace and quiet, but things weren't peaceful. And things weren't quiet. Things were scary. Well, for a few minutes, June never said one word, and I thought at first that she hadn't heard. Then a shell exploded not 2 miles away. She sat up in bed, and I heard her say, what was that? I said, that was a shell or a bomb. She said, I'm scared. I said, me too. Well, all night long, that noise kept on, and the sound would chill you right to the bone. The bullets and the bombs and the mortar shells shook our bed every time one fell, and it never let up. It was gonna get worse before it got any better. Well, when the sun came up, the noise died down. We got a few minutes sleep and we were sleeping sound. Then a soldier knocked on our door and said, last night they brought in 7 dead and 14 wounded. And would we come down to the base hospital and see the boys? Yeah. So we went to the hospital ward by day. And every night we were singing away. Then the shells and the bombs till dawn again. And the helicopters brought in a wounded man. Night after night, day after day, coming and a-going. So we sadly sang for them our last song. And reluctantly we said so long. We did our best to let them know that we care for every last one of them that's over there. Whether we belong over there or not, somebody over here loves us and needs them. Well, now that's about all that there is to tell about that little trip into living hell. And if I ever go back over there anymore, hope there's none of our boys there for me to sing for. I hope that war's over with and they all come back home to stay in peace.
That was Johnny Cash singing the Vietnam Talking Blues. I played that off of the Central Johnny Cash from 1955 to 1983 that I so conveniently took from my brother and never returned it. Preceding that was Hank Snow. I've Been Everywhere. That was originally a hit in 1962, but it was actually written by an Australian country singer named Jeff Mack in 1958. Somebody else charted with it over there in Australia before Hank Snow reconstrued the words to fit American landscapes and topinomes. I believe that's a word I've read, topinome. Well, anyway, before that was the British band The Rolling Stones doing Route 66. Why British bands are infatuated with that song is beyond me. And I started that set off with Chuck Berry back in the USA. I always get a kick out of that line, hamburgers sizzle on an open grill night and day. That's pretty much how it's been at my house the last couple of weeks. You're listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Matt and the Whirlpool is coming up next. I'm going to go ahead and play out with a local band, the Galaxy 500. It was the first song on their third album. This is our music called The 4th of July. I'm playing this off of the EP. Enjoy the 4th of July, everybody. Thanks for listening.
It was no bigger than a nickel.